Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Ours is a new love, but it burns very brightly, and it gets hot and sweaty and stanky. There's some stank on that love.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You think you're going to find somebody that's going to be like psyched to go to Applebee's with you every Friday night and hear the same football stories about how you rocked in high school?
I did rock in high school football. You want to check tape?
And Brendan Sprague.
You know about the cup sizes, no?
Yeah, different cups.
Yeah, I know about the cup.
You got the A, B, the C, the D, that's the biggest.
I know the D is the biggest. I based my whole life on knowing that the D is the biggest.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube.com/1080TheFan. You can reach the show at the Vancouver Ford text line at 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program, Dirt.
We do. A lot going on this weekend.
You like my spicy little take at 6:45?
I do. I like your take, man.
I think Noah Whittington listens to the show. I learned this weekend.
He's a big P1. I pissed him off. I always love when that happens with my team. Because genuinely, I want him to be good. And so you always want your opinions to be right. But when it comes to criticizing something on your team and you end up being wrong, oh, it's a great feeling.
Well, the funny thing is if it like the You had basically said you're not really sure if Whittington should be getting these touches, maybe go to the younger guys, Jordan James largely.
Looks like he's running at 70%, to be honest, most of the year.
And then Saturday against Illinois, runs like a madman and then trucks somebody at the end for a touchdown.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, in this weekend at Michigan, he could end up proving you right again. He could have an awful game and you're like, hey, what are we doing here? But I thought it was funny that he trucked him for the touchdown.
That was it was a great highlight, and it was just hilarious thinking of the conversations that existed in August of, like, can Oregon handle the physicality of the Big Ten, and now that's going to be a viral clip from that game. What a laughable thing we even had to discuss.
Where did that start? And because I remember laughing about that going into
Big Ten. It started from stupid people in the Big Ten. That's where it started. Mm. People in the Big Ten who think their conference is like God's gift to football.
So funny.
First off, you're not the SEC. You never have been the SEC. You never will be the SEC. In the last 20 years, you have won 2 national championships. How many has the SEC won? The SEC has been able to boast it multiple times. We have 4, 5, 6 elite teams at any given time. In the Big Ten, it's largely been 2, sometimes 3. Ohio State and Michigan last year, sure. The year before that, you had random years where Michigan State was elite and made a playoff. You've had good Wisconsin years. But in terms of being like top to bottom, oh God, how are you going to survive this gauntlet? One of the most laughable things that was ever talked about. I remember bringing this up in August and a Wisconsin fan getting very upset with me of like, oh, you don't know, man. You don't know. Like, that's one of the hard things I have with reacting to these games. Like, Illinois sucks. That's a bad football team. I was 35-3 at the half. Oregon outgained them by 300 yards in the first half. I was supposed to be scared of that team.
Yeah.
It was a 380-80-yard advantage. They were like 1 of 6 on third down.
Yeah.
That game was over 7 minutes in. Can we at least get, you know who used to challenge us? Cal in a night game on the road.
You're damn right.
You know who used to challenge us? Oh. Going up to Pullman was challenging.
Yeah,
going to Tempe on a Saturday night.
Ba, ba,
that
ba,
was challenging.
Ba, ba, ba. And was a personal Bielema foul that allowed them to score their only
points. The only touchdown they got was because Derek Harmon played after the whistle. That's the only reason you scored a touchdown in the game. That's a top 20 team in the country. Get the hell out of here.
Well, that's what the conference gets them, though, is when teams like Illinois have this season, they get the benefit. They get to, actually, we picked Illinois to be last in that conference. They're surprisingly better than we thought. Top 20. Boom. There you go.
Right.
And I was one backdoor score away from covering my big PP pick there. I was like, can we get one more? Garbage touchdown.
Oh, did you take Illinois to cover?
I did. I think
you did.
21
yeah.
and a half. Yeah.
Did you? I thought you took Oregon. Let me double check. I know I took Illinois.
Yeah, I think I took Illinois.
I took Oregon.
Yeah. Swag for sure took
you
Oregon.
You did big PP picks. I got Sprague, Illinois. Yep, yeah. You did take
Illinois. Because it was the half. It's like garbage touchdown, and they were one score away from it. But
I mean, they only scored, what, 3 points in the second half?
Second
they tried to help you out. Illinois just couldn't finish a drive.
To your larger point, I have also, I kind of laughed at that idea, too, of like Oregon's going to the Big Ten. Are they ready for the physicality? I'm like, the Pac-12 was better top to bottom last year than the Big Ten was, but you guys had Ohio State and Michigan, so
yeah,
you get all the conversation.
Well, and then Michigan won the title. That's fine.
Exactly.
In a year where you won the title, you wanted to take the bragging rights, that's fine. But the title before that one, they had won one since 2014 when Ohio State beat Oregon.
And that's kind of why I laughed at that. And I think almost everybody here on the station and in this market and fan-wise laughed at that notion, too, of like,
it's cold. We're physical.
Like all right. You got fat guys who are slow and play offensive line really well, I guess.
I mean, look,
okay, good for you.
It's affecting Washington, USC, and UCLA, so I don't disagree with that point if you're not ready to handle it. But this idea that can Oregon handle the like, Oregon was elite at the line of scrimmage last year in a Pac-12 that was incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Like they're going to be fine against Maryland and Illinois. They'll be okay.
I would at least defend the other three or two of the three teams you named. UCLA sucks. USC has done nothing but shoot themselves in the foot. And I would make the same argument for Washington.
Yeah, they've outgained their opponent in every game they've lost.
And just idiotic coaching decisions and poor timed, bad tipped interceptions. Like, so even those two teams who are not having great years, it ain't like the Big Ten's overwhelming them. They're just self-inflicted. Oregon is the cream of that crop right now. Now, they have to continue to prove it. And I can say they're tier one, and the minute they lose a game to fill in the blank, somebody's going to remember that I said that.
This weekend in Ann Arbor. Wait for that show next Monday.
I just don't buy it, man. Yeah. I don't. I've seen Michigan this year. I've watched them play football. They lost at Washington. They should have lost at home to USC. That team, we knew they were going to lose talent, and I watched this weekend against Michigan State. This is a recruiting weekend for Dan Lanning. It's not just football. That dude is smart enough to know it goes deeper than just we continue our dream season, X's and O's, execute. All of that does matter. He's recruiting against Michigan. That's a mighty big recruiter. And so Dan Lanning, I think, takes that into account. Here was Dan Lanning, part of what he said to Dusty in the postgame here on The Fan about what he liked in the Illinois win.
I felt we had a fast start earlier on both sides of the ball. We were able to get off the field on defense, able to go turn drives into touchdowns on offense, and that's what you got to be able to do. We talk a lot about middle eight, and it's something we haven't really taken advantage of this year. It was good to see the offense go score there right before half. I think that really creates a lot of momentum going into halftime.
He also talked about the emergence of one Justice Lowe. We've been talking about Justice Lowe the last couple weeks. His name has been popping up more and more. Finally got a touchdown this week in the Lake O product. Here was Dan Lanning on Justice Lowe.
Yeah, just the guy that we trust. Right? When you put him on the field, you know he's going to do his job. He's going to do his assignment. He executes it really well. Probably one of our best route runners. Really proud of his progression, his growth in our offense.
Justice Lowe's come on, which is really important for them. Holden didn't play against Purdue.
Yeah, he was suspended.
And so it's another player that you throw into the mix of already what this high-powered offense was. They had no Ferguson. He was out due to the injury.
Yeah.
But Sadiq was fine, and they had no problems there. I sometimes go into the weekend dirt with these Duck games, and I tell myself, did we talk enough about this? Did we give Illinois enough respect on the show? And I would largely say, if you listen to last week's show, you didn't walk away saying like, oh, they gave Illinois that respect. And then you see the outcome, and I'm like,
that's why.
We made the right decision. Everything about that matchup leaned Oregon in a big, big way.
Yeah, there was no stat or number that you could point to and say, that's an interesting number that maybe is an advantage for them.
None of it did, and Oregon took care of their business.
Didn't exist. I think the Justice Lowe conversation is valid because I think it encapsulates the overall feeling and strength of this football team right now. And that is what has made this team different than maybe Oregon teams of years past. And this was the argument in June, July, August going into the year, is that they're deeper than they've ever been. And that is the one area in which back in the day you could have top level talent or starters that were as good as anybody around the country. Somebody would go down and you would think, oh God, how the hell are we going to recover from that? You've now gone three straight games without having your best edge rusher and your defense is playing as good as they played all year. Terrence Ferguson is potentially going to break every tight end record in the history of your program. I don't think he has a touchdown yet this year, so that's kind of a weird anomaly. But he still has a chance to break all sorts of records. He hasn't played back-to-back games. What has Kenyon Sadiq done? You have been without Gary Bryant all year, who was expected to be a big part of your offense. Trayshawn Holden gets suspended and now is on kind of a pitch count, to be honest with you, because I think they're still pissed at him. And Justice Lowe fills in and catches a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. You have back-to-back games in which the defense at the end of the game with all of your freshman, sophomore, redshirt freshman guys who are the back-end depth guys are playing at an elite level. Like, one of the coolest highlights to me, honestly, from the game, and I hope I'm saying his last name right, the Sione Laiulea interception in which he was on a corner out, turn around, made a play.
Yep.
Dude's like 6'4". He's a string bean, so he's got to fill out. But he was like the number one JUCO corner in the country. I remember when they got him and seeing his highlight film, like, that guy's going to be a problem. First time I can remember him playing all year, and here he gets a pick right when he goes into the game. Like,
you did watch his JUCO highlight.
I absolutely watched his JUCO highlight. Like, I think this just embodies what has made this team different. And we can even go back to where we started the entire segment. You know, I have been critical of Noah Whittington this year because he hasn't looked like the Noah Whittington of old. And there's been an aspect of you want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's coming off an injury. It's going to take him time. Mentally, he's clearly not there. My larger question was, if it doesn't get there, like, at what point do you say, okay, we got two other backs back here that we trust and we think can run at a high level. We eventually got to start giving them more of the carries. And then you get that game from Noah Whittington where he looks like the guy prior to the injury. He's running over safeties at the goal line. He averaged 8 yards a carry. He had explosive runs throughout the course of the game. Now you're giving me a two-headed monster in the backfield. You know how many carries Jordan James had this weekend? 15. You know how many he had last week? 10. That's 25 carries in 2 weeks because you don't need him. And so
Whittington and Lamar have the same amount of carries?
Yes. You're incredibly deep. You can give guys breathers when you need to. Justice Lowe played more snaps at wide receiver than anybody on the field this weekend. More than Tez, more than Evan Stewart, obviously more than Trayshawn Holden. You almost got guys on pitch counts at this point in the year because you have so much talent. And that is the difference in this Oregon team than teams we've seen in years past.
The depth is certainly a big part of this. I mean, the only thing I can think about, and I did see a couple people on Twitter because I check our show timeline from time to time.
What are the people saying?
Because we follow
the game.
A lot of Duck fans we and do. Beaver fans, and so like I don't personally follow all of those accounts, and so I get to see them on the show. It was just interesting. Like I did see a couple 3 points in the second half.
Oh,
three.
God, shut up!
And I'm like,
shove those people in a locker. Anybody got a locker I could shove those people in? You epitomize what's wrong with our fan base.
Well, that
it was 35-3 at halftime. But I don't know if you guys know this. There's a new playoff format in the sport this year where 12 teams get to go in.
I do know that, yeah.
So there's this thing that we used to have to talk about ridiculously called style points and how you play in the third and fourth quarter. How much did you beat the team by? Did you win by 40? Did you win by 50? Like, it doesn't matter.
No,
they don't need to do anything. It was 35-3. If I'm a head coach, you know what I'm doing in the second half? Handoff, punt.
Yeah,
why am I risking anything or doing anything out of the ordinary when it's a 32-point halftime lead?
The game is being modeled to the NFL. You're seeing it with these super conferences, a 12-team playoff, and now that's going to result in how the games are played. They've adjusted the clock now, so the clock isn't stopping every other play. So it's going to be played more like NFL games.
I would bring up the Gabriel pick that wasn't good in any way.
No, he has one of those every once in a while.
He throws once in a while. Yeah, he throws
hey, you
one
know
once
what?
In a while. And Patrick, he doesn't throw him in the big one.
No, in the big game. And they show that they can go in a four-quarter battle and win, and they can get better as the game goes on and put together a drive or get a stop. When they've shown you they have the ability to do that.
Who's thrown an interception in 8 consecutive games?
8 consecutive games?
8 consecutive games.
Probably a lot of college quarterbacks.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, well, touche.
Well, you know. I just like we're really good to criticize a 29-point win, which could have been easily bigger over a top 20 team in the country.
I mean, yeah, and it's on national television.
On national CBS, Brad Nestler,
all you wanted.
Gary Danielson sounded like he couldn't talk.
How many scared Big Ten fans are watching that game? Like, damn it, man, they're killing Illinois right now. They're not even close.
Should be scared though. Can we hang with them physically? Well, I'm not sure.
Let me ask you this quickly, and I kind of said it maybe at the back end of the 6 a.m. hour. And this isn't to dismiss that college is college and there's weird things that happen, certainly.
I kind of find the whole Oregon, I feel like there is a section or a portion of the fan that has experienced it. You're kind of in this camp in some ways. You've experienced random heartbreak. You're like, what's happening? And I certainly understand that. But I do look at their schedule, and we assume health stays as is. So that's an important factor here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the hiccup is. And maybe this weekend I'll look like an idiot come Monday and Michigan puts up a fight and they do it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's Michigan. I certainly don't think it's Maryland.
No.
Maryland's going to get bludgeoned.
No.
I kind of look at this, and the reason I feel the way I feel about this Oregon team, despite how it started, is what you highlighted, the depth. And I told Swag this during the break. It's the line play, man. That line play on the offensive side was shaky. They figured it out.
The only sack they gave up in the game was the play Gabriel had like 37 seconds to throw the football and then randomly got trapped in the pocket and couldn't get out.
And most, I think most coaches would tell you that is a coverage sack slash that's also on the quarterback.
Yeah, you got to get out of there.
You got to get the ball out. You got to eventually break out and run.
Yeah.
And this is different to me. It's not to say that they're going to win the title. They're better than this team from this year or that team from that year. It's just to say, that, like, scared in the back of your mind, is this our trap hiccup game? I just don't know if that is looming with the way this team is currently playing.
The only one I'll give you, because I, too, have the same feeling about this weekend, which is always scary when I start feeling that way, of like, oh, God, once I end up getting confident, like, cocky, oh, they're going to roll. I start cocky sniffing, they're going to lose a game. That happens every year.
Yeah.
So I Michigan can't throw a forward pass. Can they muddy it up and be physical and run the ball? Like, fine.
By the way, Swag looked it up when you went to the bathroom, 54 and sunny.
On Saturday in Ann Arbor. Yeah.
So no weather problem.
No weather problem there. And Oregon should be able to run the ball efficiently. They're just so balanced. They have so many weapons. It just seems like it's hard to see somebody completely slowing them down. The only thing that I'll throw at you, and I think it's been a little bit of an overblown talking point early in the season, because in a lot of the games, the favorite has actually won. Very rarely has a big favorite gone on the road in two times on travel and lost. Has happened, but not very often.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I'll give you. So last weekend, you're at Purdue, short week. You got to go two time zones away. You come home and play a game. This weekend, you got to travel out Thursday, play a game two time zones away, go to Michigan. You come back the next weekend, you play Maryland, and then the next weekend, you're back at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That game, to me, is screaming a big noon kickoff, a 9 a.m. game.
The Wisconsin game?
With a third long road trip in 5 weeks. Like, that's the only one that I'm looking at of like, all right. Like, and it's not that I think Wisconsin's offense is horrendous. I don't think they're that good of a football team. But you tell me, does the extended travel three times in 5 weeks eventually wear you down to the
point
where you come out a little sleepy, maybe it's a 9 a.m. game, and you look like, I don't know, like Washington's looked in their two 9 a.m. games. It's not an easy thing for a West Coast team to do. That's the only one that I'll give you. But all things equal, kick times are normal. I have a hard time seeing them lose a game in the regular season.
So Oregon rolls over the Fighting Illini 38-9 at Autzen Stadium. Rained everywhere but Autzen on Saturday.
It was a glorious day down there for the
pregame.
Weather
for
just
them.
Beautiful down there.
All right, we have a lot more to get into. It wasn't the Bray Area this weekend. Let's get to that next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
I'm still being haunted and traumatized from the 10 a.m. witching hour. We'll get to that today.
Witching hour hits a little different on the week of Halloween.
We haven't had a lot of great witching hours, I feel like, this year. And yesterday's decided to just be chaotic.
Yes, it did. We also have a little-known fact getting text in that I did not realize either. I guess Ann Arbor's three time zones away.
Yeah, Eastern time zone.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
They're right near Detroit.
They're like right on that line.
I know. Time zones to me, I got nothing up here for that. I don't know.
But your point still, a valid
lot of travel.
One.
A lot of travel.
Back forth.
They didn't have a ton of travel early in the season. It's all backloaded on their schedule.
We will get to the NFL. It was a crazy day. We had a Hail Mary on a pass thrown from their own 35-yard line.
While a DB was doing jumping jacks and waving at the crowd.
At the start of the play.
In the middle of the play.
He saw it, and he had to apologize on Twitter.
Let's go Bears.
The Cowboys are still the Cowboys. We found that out on Sunday Night Football. And I've got audio that I think you're going to hear, and you're going to think it's a celebrity.
I'm going to think it's a celebrity.
Yeah. Based on the sound.
Sound of the voice.
Sound of the voice.
Okay. I like that.
I was dual screening Oregon, Illinois, and Oregon State Cal on Saturday.
Yeah. 12:30, 1 o'clock. They were almost identical kick times.
And I ended up looking like the cross-eyed kid from Dennis the Menace because I didn't know where to look. Both games were just truly awful in different ways.
Yeah, not very interesting games. Unless you were a Duck fan, not an interesting game.
Look, I didn't have great expectation they would win at Cal. I know some Beef fans talked themselves into it. I think Cal is a much better team than their record shows, and part of that is, you know, it's on coaching and execution.
Yeah.
Woof, 44-7, and that's a late seven you got. I don't know what to say. Swag asked something in a group chat, and I literally said, I don't know what to say anymore. Like, you put a poll question up, is this the lowest it's ever been? Yes, no, or just want to see the results? And certainly the response would tell you, look, this record, Pettibone, Gary Anderson, I think I know what you meant by that question.
Now, I'm not asking if this is the worst Oregon State team of all time. Yeah, they've had some bad teams.
That's how people are reading it. And so the responses we're getting are largely like, here's a screenshot of 10 years and how bad we were. Here's
1-11 Gary Anderson.
Yeah. And so like...
Oh, no, there was the wishbone era back in the 80s. No, it's not.
Yeah,
close.
I'm not asking if this was the lowest, if this is the worst team ever. I'm asking if this is the lowest you've ever felt as a fan. And a lot of people are saying no to that, which is fine. I mean, I'm not telling you how to feel.
Because they're going by record and coaches, and I understand that. But I think what you're asking is
everything.
Yeah.
Gary Anderson was 1-11, you were in a power conference. So you didn't have a lot of hope. You didn't know how long it was going to take you to dig out of that hole. Hmm. Took you a couple of years. You eventually got out of there, and Jonathan Smith did carry you out of that. But that was, I think, it was the question of they're playing this way, and the future feels very bleak. Just is this the overall lowest you've ever felt about the program?
I don't think we can make a conclusion on coaching in any way, but I am...
No.
I can't help but wonder... 44-7.
That was embarrassing.
A loss is a loss, but like I didn't see that. That was about as embarrassed as I've ever been watching a game.
There was never a moment in that game where you thought, never.
Not a single one.
They scored right out of the gate, and if Oregon State goes 3-and-out, and you are, all right, this game, like, it just felt, immediately felt like this game's over.
I want to say in their first like five drives, they had 19 yards.
That sounds about right. They didn't gain hardly anything, and Cal was scoring basically every time they touched. It went 9 plays, 75-yard touchdown, 3-and-out, minus 5 yards. Two play, 42-yard touchdown, five plays, 18 yards punt. Then you did force a three and out. So like, hey, here's your momentum. You finally got a stop. Oregon State went three and out, gained 4 yards. Cal went 71 yards and kicked a field goal. You went three and out. Essentially, you threw a pick on the third play of the drive. Three plays, 5 yards. They then kicked a field goal again. You went three and out again. Then you finally had the drive down 28-0 in which you drove and then missed a field. Like, you had a chance to score. That was the first
was
drive
that
of the game.
Blocked, by the way, or did that kid... Did Hayes just straight miss it that badly?
I didn't get a good look at that one. I don't remember if that one...
Because it looked like it got tipped.
Got tipped, yeah.
It looked
Hopefully
like
he didn't kick it into his offensive lineman again, because that happened earlier this year. I think you have to be careful to say things about the coaching staff, because my takeaway from this weekend, and this is coming from somebody who took Oregon State. I went 0-4 in our big PP picks this week. I took them to cover the spread. I just thought you get a fight. Hey, season's on the line. We had a bad loss last weekend. Let's bounce back. I thought there was going to be a little bit more there. I think we have to look back to the things that we were saying about this team from the end of last season throughout the course of the summer, and realize that maybe we should have seen this coming. Like, they lost the majority of their coaching staff. They lost the guy who was supposed to be their starting quarterback. They lost the best player on their team and their running back at the very last second, who went through spring ball and everything. Lost him at the last second. How many returning starters did you have from last year's team? I remember doing an interview with Bill Connolly.
Their best defensive players.
Lost all their best defensive players. Like, we did an interview with Connolly where he came out with a returning production article, and I remember we had him on maybe on a YouTube extra in like June or July, getting all excited for the football season. And I remember it standing out how little returning production that they had from last year's team. And so I think the hope was, hey, you're playing an easier schedule because the Mountain West, you should be able to handle that. But then you look at UNLV all of a sudden being good. Like, it hasn't been the cakewalk maybe that some thought, and you had to play Oregon this year. And there was a part of me that's like, we should have seen this coming. That I don't know how many coaches could succeed in that spot. Their offense has completely grounded to a halt. They can't move the football. They were like 1 of 11 on third down. They can't run it. And when you can't run it, you don't have a quarterback that can throw it. And there's an aspect of like, what do you want? How are they supposed to win football games? And so my whole mindset the rest of the year would be, how do we get ready to be more competitive next year, and how do we put ourselves in a position to be better in 2026?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's what some Beaver fans will do, is point to 26 and like, oh, we'll just get through this and then get to 26. Okay, but if your talent drops...
Yeah, how are you going to be in the transfer
portal? You're not going to suddenly recruit, you know, in the top whatever. You're recruiting... I've talked to Nimmick about it. The recruiting is arguably worse.
Yeah, it is.
And so, like, that was always my fear with this thing of just like, well, you get through it and then get a power conference in 2 years. Yeah, well, in that 2 year window, I've seen Oregon State in the past. They can certainly get worse.
They can.
Now, I'm not saying that Bray's not the guy. I just don't have a whole lot to point to that makes me feel like he is the guy.
No, you have nothing yet.
And so they're just sitting in such a weird spot. Now, they can still go at the minimum 6-6.
Yeah, I think they should be able to beat Air Force.
Air Force should be a win, but San Jose State is kind of your toss-up. Yeah. You don't beat
San Jose State this weekend. Sorry, they got a bye week. And then when they play San Jose State.
Yeah, so you come back off the bye with San Jose State, and then you're going to Air Force. Air Force is bad. You beat San Jose State, you're a bowl team. But, like, I think 6-6 is your record, because I don't think you're beating Wazoo, and I certainly don't think you're beating Boise State.
Although Wazoo was pretty fortunate to survive this weekend. I ended up watching that game Saturday night, and they did not play well, and they were down 2 scores in the fourth quarter.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that. But also, this Oregon State team is playing pretty bad football right now.
They're not giving you any hope right now.
I think my ultimate point is 6-6 is maybe you're like, hey, we dug out of it, got to a bowl game. Okay,
let's go hit the portal. How many guys are available that are looking for playing time and want to have a chance to play away?
That's the other part of the portal, is they're a Mountain West team.
They are?
So, like, that portal's not going to be jumping off the charts for the top in talent that's going to change everything.
UNLV's done it pretty good, so it has been done, but I see your larger point.
Yeah, their coach comes from the SEC, and he, it just means more. Yeah. Like, he kind of gets that. I kind of look at this as a lost year. And I believe Nick Daschle wrote in the Oregonian yesterday basically the same thing. And the unfortunate thing is, the lost year this year is a little doom and gloomy for your future of where you sit right now. Losing to San Jose State and being 5-7 was the most nightmare scenario you could have possibly had.
It's a big one on the ninth.
And so it's going to be massive for them coming out of that bye to get that win. I also worry about apathy. I mean, I have a lot of Beaver fans that are not on Twitter, basically like, this sucks.
Yeah.
This is not fun. I don't enjoy this. These teams are not fun to get excited to watch. And that happens against Cal, and it's just more apathy after more apathy. Twitter is not representative of people, so I'll be curious to see what San Jose State's attendance is like and just kind of where the overall vibe of the program is, because it's not good right now.
It'll be a chicken and the egg thing where you want the fans to come back in full throat and be supportive, but they're also not going to do it until you give them something to do it for. And
I would be making your tickets as cheap as possible. Get
dollar
as many
to get
butts
in
those
50
seats.
Cent I mean, tickets. Yeah, well, I mean I'm not kidding, dude. Get as many butts in the seats as you possibly can, because yeah. I'm with you. At least that game against San Jose State got announced as a 12:30 game, so Washington State gets the night treatment at 7:30, so it's a great kick time right in the middle of the day. Hopefully the weather's nice, but I can't imagine that's going to be a massive crowd. And there is a lot of apathy right there, right now, inside that program. It's going to take wins to get you out of it, but I don't know how you get there in the short term.
We'll get to more college football, a crazing witching hour. We got a Hail Mary walk off. The Blazers split. Scoot looked good. Klingon looked good, but he's not playing. You didn't think Scoot looked good?
Friday night he did. He was fine.
Friday night yesterday.
He was okay yesterday. I mean, he's not making threes. He can't shoot the ball.
He's looking like a competent basketball player. Is all I'm saying.
Let's hand him the reins. Make him the starting point guard.
Well,
we're tanking. What are we doing?
Number three overall pick. We almost won both games.
We did. Can you imagine that'd be a nightmare if we were 2-1? That would be an absolute nightmare.
Duke just blew out Arizona State.
Bye-bye Cooper Flagg, generational talent. We're not getting that guy. We're winning too many damn games because we won't trade our veterans.
We have a lot more to get to. Dirt and Sprague back with more.
All right, a couple of quick thoughts, and then we'll move up to the teams up north. Haven't talked about them yet.
By the way, it's 27 yards their first 27 five drives yards with an interception mixed in there.
Not good, Bob. Not good. Two comments quickly I wanted to read, and then one last thought on the Oregon situation that needs to be addressed.
Oh.
One listener, the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. That's how you can interact with us the entire show. Also, the YouTube chat is as lively as it always is this morning.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, everybody. Here's why this is the worst I've ever felt. We all knew if we get Anderson out of here, we can turn this around. Not a destination job, but it's a power conference, and that was correct. We got the right coach. We turned it around. Now this isn't a destination job. It's probably one of the least coveted D1 jobs due to conference situation. There's no fixing that. We're mentally adjusting to the fact that we aren't a power team anymore and most likely won't be. And then another text kind of reiterated that point. So just saying, I am fully detached as a Beaver fan right now. We got relegated back to the big boy era, but this time we don't have Power 4 funding to build our way back up. Why should we have any hope?
What I would say to those people is the doom and gloom is real. I kind of understand it. I certainly checked out mentally after a certain point of that game of like, yeah, they're toast. I told a Beaver fan this on Instagram. The football team does well. Cool. There's people on that staff that I like that I think are good people, and I root for them to win. I'm just about at that line where I just shift my attitude and say, we got to care about basketball.
Hey, they won a game this weekend. They had a scrimmage game they won.
Yep.
They did.
It doesn't count.
It should. Count it.
No, but like it sounds awful to say that on a football Monday, and I get football is the lifeblood of America at this point.
Yeah.
You got to be honest with yourself. Totally. It's not that Oregon State can't be 7-5 or 8-4 or whatever. I root for them to do well. It's a basketball conference. It's how it's being shaped and formed.
Yeah.
So we need to be caring about basketball.
Yeah, here's the only thing I'll say, because I don't disagree with that sentiment. That's probably how I would feel if I were a Beaver fan. I would not feel great. The only thing that I'll say from the outside looking in is that it's incredibly... Trent Bray was handed an impossible situation. Like, he lost his entire team. He had to go fill out a coaching staff. All of his relevant players are gone. Like, that's not an easy thing to overcome from and win. They probably won't ever get back to that. Maybe they don't. I'm just at least going to give him like 1.5 season, like give him an off season. Let's see how it looks.
I'm not saying fire Trent Bray.
I'm not saying that you are. I don't think any Beaver fan is rationally saying that either. Like, two examples out there. Now, yes, they are power examples. So you can say this is dumb dirt. Don't bring it up. But like, Vanderbilt hit the transfer portal and now they're relevant. Vanderbilt football is one of the worst programs in the history of my life. They went to New Mexico and they got their quarterback. They brought in a bunch of guys from their staff. They brought in a bunch they just said, hey, let's hit the portal and see. Like, in this era of the sport, there are always players available to go get. Now, will they choose Oregon State? Do you have NIL to compete with other programs that are at your level? I don't know the answer to those questions. That's the only thing that I'll say. And Indiana's the other prime example of this, too. Man, they hired the James Madison coach, brought half the damn team from James Madison, brought in transfers from all over the country in 1 year.
Yeah.
They're 7-0. Now, those are power examples, and I'm not saying you're going to be to that point. I'm just saying there are fixes available in the short term in this modern era of college football. Now it's about can the coaching staff and can the boosters and donors find a way to make that happen.
You need a quarterback. I mean,
that's step number one. Go get a quarterback.
They don't have a quarterback. They didn't play Johnson. It was Gulbranson and McCoy. McCoy is not it, and Gulbranson for them is not it. So they're playing without a quarterback.
Can I ask one last note before we move on to the teams up north on the Oregon front? I forgot to bring this up earlier.
Yeah.
For the love of God, can we just give a PSA to anybody calling an Oregon game the rest of the year?
Okay.
We know the Tez Bowe story.
Oh, the broadcast?
We know. Like, I know.
Were they talking about that on CBS?
Oh, did you know? Did you know that he moved in with him? He had one dinner at the Bo Nix household, and he thought, this is where I want to be. Did you know that they won a state title together? Did you know that Tez grew up a Duck fan?
Did you know that? I hadn't heard that.
He's a big Duck fan, actually. That. Yeah. Then did you know Bo's his brother? Did you know that?
Well, those storylines are new to the Big Ten.
Like, what are we? We know. This was all last year. He was throwing to them. They were on the same team. Now they're not on the same team anymore.
Brother to brother.
He's not even here anymore.
They weren't on CBS last year.
What are we doing? If I get that story, it's the same crew this weekend calling the game. If I'm sending a very angry email if I get that story again. Very angry email.
Really?
To the CBS folks.
I didn't hear a whole
Paramount,
lot of
Paramount, figure your ass out. We know.
God. I didn't hear a lot of the play-by-play. I had it more on the Cal side. So I didn't hear the Tez things. I would have laughed if I heard it.
It was like, yeah, we know, Jenny Dell. We know. I've heard this on every sideline report of every Oregon game for the last 2 years. It's an awesome story. Tez is great.
I feel like there's so many other stories you could be telling. Justice Lowe, the local kid. Yeah. Like, Oregon's a national recruiter, but you got a Lako kid on the team.
Oswego kid. You got multiple local kids, man. Yeah. You got Bryce Petcher on defense, running around making plays.
Herbert's brother.
Amarion Winston, local kid. Yeah. Central Catholic. He's having a great year this year.
Justin Herbert's brother plays there. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
NFL quarterback, Justin Herbert. Yeah.
I was wondering if they were related.
Yeah.
I didn't quite figure it out.
Did you watch the CBS piece on Gabriel?
The one with Mariota?
Yeah, where Mariota narrated.
That was pretty solid.
That was cool. Also, is that very awkward for them to shoot? It's like, Dylan, we're going to need you in the waves with your shirt off, looking into the horizon.
Yes, it is very weird.
Yeah, sure. Just tell me when to go.
All right, you want to go walk around out here? Okay. All right, sounds good. I'll do that. Let's get to the teams up north, shall we? Washington did their same Washington thing.
It was the second possession. It was like, this is what we're going to do. Huh?
Here we go. We're going to move the ball, and then we're going to throw a pick six, and we're going to outgain our opponent. Is it time for a quarterback change for them? The Cougs survived. Did we stay up and watch that game on Saturday night? Let's get to the teams up north. We'll move on to some NFL stuff coming up top of the hour. Back after this on the Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Spray crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com.
Sports Equinox today.
We do. We got every game going, or every league going on.
Every sport.
The Core Four. Yeah. We're trying to cook up a Sports Equinox. Equinox.
I go with the confluence.
Okay.
All right. All four sports coming together.
The
sports confluence.
Trying to cook up a sports confluence parlay. One bet from each.
We have no TV on in the studio. No. I got
logged out of Hulu. I don't know what our hot login is anymore. So I don't know how to log back in. My TV, you know.
Really?
All of our engineers are gone.
There's a sticky in here.
Oh, okay. I need your sticky.
That
was a thick pick.
Oh, that did not sound good.
Canada loves me when I come.
That's right.
Is ESPN just running with Cowboys loss and Jets are bad? Is that the lead?
Yes. Apparently I don't need to turn on ESPN. That's all yes.
Okay, let's do this.
That will be their entire show today.
What is the...
And then
Rodgers and the Jets is the start of Colin. What's the plus-minus situation there? I'm saying
until we get into the Cowboys, or just is that the start?
Colin starts this first segment. Jets will be mentioned. Yes. Is a minus.
Oh, 7,000. Yeah.
7,000.
Yeah. Yes, minus 7,000.
It won't be first. He'll get to that second.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No,
he
I think
two things in the Cowboys, first.
They lost to the Patriots.
Cowboys and Shanahan will be first up.
Wow. Okay, I'll beer bet you on that one.
I
think Rodgers will start the show.
Really?
Who's surprised at the Cowboys' loss to the 49ers? They always lose to the 49ers.
Damn right they do.
Yeah,
the Jets fired their head coach. They're 0-3, and they lost to the worst team. Well, one of the worst teams in the NFL.
The Titans with like a word.
Yeah, well, so
yeah,
the
but Cowherd's got a thing for Shanahan.
Yeah,
and he can get. Because he doesn't care about the Patriots.
See, that's the thing. I think if the Niners would have lost, Rodgers. I think maybe there's a thing there. If the Niners would have lost, you could have been right. I don't know. I'll beer bet you on that one. Opening segment of Colin.
They're both going to be in the opening
They will both
segment.
Be in, but we're talking first topic.
First things, Cowboys Niners.
You know,
game.
When you look at the economy, this Aaron Rodgers thing doesn't make any sense.
1988, I ate at a burger joint. And that is the New York Jets.
That is why we can't trust the New York Jets. The Washington Huskies went on the road to Indiana this weekend. They had a backup quarterback and Taven Jackson starting for the Hoosiers.
They did. And it didn't matter.
And once again, Washington outgained their opponent 318 to 312. They also outgained them in the first half, yet they were down 17-7. And they're the same team. The talking point out of this isn't necessarily should we be surprised that the Huskies lost the game, because this is who Washington is, and they've shown us this is who they are the entire year.
Yeah.
The main talking point that I'm seeing from fans, and I'm wondering if you guys were in that purple cult, would you feel the same way? Time for a quarterback change. That has been the talking point out of this game of you're 4-4, your season's kind of done, you got nothing really to play for the rest of the year outside of pride and maybe making a bowl game and having an extra month of practice. Damon Williams is going to be your guy of the future. Jed Fish has like been trying to make that happen all year. Puts him in every game. He's in different formations. They like to run him around. Would you want a quarterback change if you were a Husky fan?
I mean, I could understand Husky fan that's sitting here saying we've lost three of our last four games.
What's the point of playing a super senior quarterback?
What is the point?
And he was bad this weekend, by the way.
Does it matter to make a bowl game?
I don't think it does anymore.
Really?
I don't. Because. Okay. And maybe I'm wrong on this. How many of the guys are even going to stick around for bowl games anymore?
Oh, I don't know Washington's situation in that regard. I'm just asking if it's important in year one for Fish to say, hey, look, I know it wasn't perfect. Some people had higher expectations maybe, but all things considered, we finished 500 and we are going to a bowl game. If that's important to you, I actually stick with Rodgers. I think if anything, you bring in the young kid and maybe a couple more possessions. I feel... I'm weirdly coming in defending him a little bit here. Now, it's certainly not the biggest of Will Rogers fans.
Yeah.
That second possession, they were driving. They were in Indiana territory. You had this feel of like, oh my God, maybe this is going to get wrecked. This whole game day's here. Lee Corso's being celebrated.
Yeah.
This may end their dream season. And the weirdest interception that went for a pick six I've maybe seen all year. It got tipped. The DB turned around. It just landed in his lap, and he took it to the house.
Yeah,
I don't know how much of that Will Rogers' fault versus just like weird bounces of the ball. He's had a couple of those picks, though.
Yeah,
he hasn't been perfect. I think I stick with him. They're hosting USC.
I think they can win this weekend.
They could definitely win this weekend. Yeah. They're a much better home team than they are a road team that's been well documented. You're not beating Penn State. You should beat UCLA, and you're not beating Oregon. If you want to be 6-6, I think you just keep Rodgers. You implement the young kid a couple more possessions or a couple more plays per game.
Yeah, I think if you lose this weekend, I would be more there of changing the guard. If you can't beat USC, I see your point about you only got two home games left, USC and UCLA. And if you want a good chuckle, as a Cougar fan or a Beaver fan, that game is 4:30 on the Big Ten Network. So their first time facing is Big Ten foes. It's on the Big Ten Network, not on national linear television. So that is a chuckle. But they did lose this weekend in very Washington fashion. See how the rest of their year goes. That's just who they are at this point. And they're going to be a much different team on the road. They still got road trips to Penn State and Oregon left on their schedule.
Yeah.
The UCLA game is basically a guaranteed win. That's a Friday night game, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't care what the spread is in the Oregon-Washington game. Give me Oregon right now. Write it down. Lanning will win that game 100 and nothing if
that's
he can.
That's a send a message kind of game. That's a...
I got blue balls to beat you.
It's been building up for 2 years, man. I've been waiting for that opportunity. Did we stay awake for the end of Washington State-San Diego State on Saturday?
And that field was a joke.
An absolute joke.
Know what they're doing at San Diego State and Snapdragon, but that field was a joke.
There were Cougar fans there than San Diego State.
San Diego State's terrible.
There was a loud a San Diego State player got hurt late in that game, and there was a loud audible "Go Cougs" chanter. Go! Like one side of it was like that one side and the other side back and forth. Like, holy hell, this is supposed to be a rugged.
I asked Dirt because I was like,
half awake watching
Coug
the end of this.
Coug fan in the Gaslight District had to be a thing down there in San Diego.
I asked him if it was raining because every time I looked up, it looked like water was coming off the field.
Yeah,
and
it was
he said,
sand.
No, it was sand. And
it
I
was
said,
sand, yeah.
What?
Yeah,
it was like Bermuda that hadn't sunk the roots in yet. It was hideous.
They were lucky to win that game.
Very lucky to win that game.
That's all I'll say about that. I don't remember what the spread was, and not that that's
it
important.
It was 14.
A lot more than they won.
They did not cover. Yeah, it was. Yeah, close at 14 when we did our big PP picks on Thursday.
Would have been a bad weekend for the Pack had they dropped that game.
Ooh, buddy, but the dream for them. Hey, I mean, this
it's
is one of those,
live.
Like, it's still live. It was a CBS Sports Network game. Not a lot of, you got a chance to go 11-1, man.
Mm-hmm.
You got a chance. 11-1 would be a hell of a first season with this new landscape. We just got done talking about Oregon State.
You think they go 11-1?
I think they got a great shot at it. You got Utah State next. You got a bye.
That's a win.
And then you got Utah State at home, at New Mexico.
They're terrible.
At Oregon State.
I give that advantage to the Cougs for
advantage
sure.
Advantage Cougs.
And I don't think Wyoming's very good.
And then you get Wyoming at home. Now, I would have told you you're going to blow out
Wyoming's
San Diego State.
1-7.
I didn't think San Diego State was very good, but
they're almost at home for that one.
They were at home, so you got that. I do think the Oregon State game will be interesting because Oregon State is a little bit different team at home than they are on the road, and that we acknowledge. And Washington State just had a clunky game. That was a John Mateer agent of chaos game. It was just him scrambling, like just using his legs, running around, making plays, willing his team to a win. They were down double digits late in that game. And
Dirt,
I'd
argue that's their
back.
Season.
I mean,
Mateer has single-handedly kind of lifted them in a way.
He had 21 carries in that game, technically, because you count sacks. 21 carries for 42 yards.
They will not get the playoff if all these teams that are in the group of five win out. Boise just boat raced them, and they will not deserve. But 11-1, what bowl game does that get them in?
Well, remember the bowl tie-in still exists for the conference,
it does.
So that's got to get you a decent. And they're, by the way, now in the top 25 after that win. I think they're ranked 23rd or 22nd. Thank you.
There you go.
That's going to get you a great bowl game.
Hey, I'm pulling for the Cougs. They were lucky to win that game. And
yeah, what's the number two game now? Is it still the Alamo Holiday?
Yeah, I don't know how that works with the two teams.
Well,
aren't the bowl affiliations still the same for this year?
Still
for
all
this
the
year.
Same.
So they're going to get the Alamo Bowl or the Holiday Bowl, whichever one is technically
higher.
Dude,
they're rooting for the Holiday. You'd rather go to see. I've always said this. I know the Alamo got elevated above the Holiday.
Yeah.
But
you'd much rather be in San Diego.
You'd rather go to San Diego than San Antonio.
Yeah, I'm with you on
not
that.
Close. I've been to San Antonio. I haven't been to San Diego, but I'd say that without going to San Diego.
So technically, if Oregon State then gets bowl eligible, they would get one of the other ones too? But is that how that would work?
LA Bowl or the Las Vegas Bowl.
But if it's just the top two bowl eligible teams, wouldn't they get whatever the Alamo or Holiday that the Cougs don't get if they're bowl eligible?
Not necessarily. No. I think they still have arrangements. So like if the Huskies get in a bowl game,
they would factor that in. I think it's a weird year that way.
They would be of the old Pac-12 teams that aren't in the playoff are eligible for the Pac-12 bowl games.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, the Cougs got to win. They shouldn't have won that game, but they found a way. That's the beauty of football, man. It's a Saturday night, probably not a lot of folks watching, but I was up and like one eye open, laying in bed, trying to make it to the end of that one. Ugly field down at San Diego, and they found a way to gut it out and get a late win. John Mateer was awesome. Running around making plays. There is your college football recap.
Did Indiana do anything for you? They didn't. I didn't think they played a very good game, and they ended up winning this one by double digits. Any difference for you on Indiana?
You want me to be honest or you want me to die on the hill? Because I feel like dying on a hill. So, no, they didn't. But, yeah, they kind of did.
They didn't even play a good game.
No, they didn't.
Shaky, and they still won that one.
Washington, yeah, that was typical Huskies. I still like, what's their best win on the year? That's the funny thing about Indiana. Is Washington now their best win? Is Nebraska their best?
It's probably Nebraska, given that Nebraska suddenly, because they lost, they've turned a corner as a program.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah, now they're back. Matt Rhule's back, baby.
That locker room. First time all year I've seen that.
He gets lost. All right. Okay. We're doing that. They get Ohio State in a couple of weeks, and I'm fascinated to see how that game goes. Indiana at Ohio State.
Don't they get them the week after Penn State? So if Penn State beats them up?
I don't believe so. Let me double check real quick, and then we'll go, because we got NFL stuff to get to.
I think
Ohio State gets Penn State, and then they have a nobody in between. Let me double check. Yeah, they got Purdue. And Northwestern in between that. So they don't play until the week before the Michigan game. Indiana at Ohio State. It's the week before the Michigan game. But Indiana, though, like if to the point of who have they beaten, Nebraska and Washington are probably the best teams outside of Ohio State left on their schedule. They get a bye, Indiana does, and they go to Michigan State.
Yeah.
They get Michigan at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're at Ohio State before playing Purdue in the last game of the season.
I would also counter yours.
11-1 Indiana's going to be in the playoffs.
What's Ohio State's best win?
I mean, they don't have one, but it's Ohio State, so that's the only reason we give it to them, but you're 100% spot on.
Yeah.
Their best win is
Nebraska.
The LSU too? Loss and the A&M win this weekend. There's a lot of football to be played. College football, how is the committee figuring out the playoff?
I want to do that fun
there's
thought experiment.
There's a lot of two-loss situations arising.
Yeah.
I don't know how you differentiate all these teams.
Hell, I even want to do it right now. Like, can
let's
you
get to the NFL.
We'll get to the NFL, but at some point this week, I'm going to have the fun exercise of who would your at-large playoff teams be?
I'm serious, yeah. I don't
BYU?
Know what to do.
Are they in there? Indiana?
They have to be. They're undefeated.
Sure, I know. You got some good one-loss teams in there.
Is Colorado in the conference?
Is Colorado? They're alive in the Big 12. What's happening?
So good.
All right, let's get to the NFL. We had a Hail Mary, LOL Jets. What the hell was that? Seahawks. Hey, Bo Nix looked pretty good, but it was against the Panthers. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll start in the NFL next on The Fam.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.